that he give us out of Psalms. Brother, is this thing on? But there we go. Hallelujah. Luke chapter number 22. And I appreciate Psalms 51, don't you?
Amen.
I want to make a statement, and then I'm going to preach the message God's put on my heart. If you've ever sought after God, if you've ever been hungry for God, if you've ever been thirsty for God at all, then you probably got Psalms 51 memorized. And that's your prayer of repentance on a daily basis. God help us to repent every day. Amen. I'm not preaching out of Psalms 51. Luke 22, verse number 50. When you find a place, say amen.
Amen.
The Bible said one of them smote the servant of the high priest and cut off his right ear. And Jesus answered and said, suffer ye thus far. And he touched his ear and healed him. Fathers, we bow in your presence. Thank you, Lord, for the preaching thus far, all the messages. Thank you for speaking to my heart. Now I pray in Jesus' name, help me to say something that will be a blessing to these people. God, I pray, wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee. Father, I pray you'd give us wisdom, knowledge, and understanding on how to humble ourselves up underneath the mighty hand of God. I pray you wouldn't have to humble us, but give us enough sense to humble ourselves. I pray, Lord, that you'd do a divine work, Lord, to just push out all the pride, the envy, the jealous, the malice, the bitterness, every bit of it. Lord, help us to come clean with you all the way and be clean every whit. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You can be seated this morning. I won't take time to labor a lengthy introduction. Any of you that know the Bible know what's going on here. Peter is stepped out of line, pulled his sword out of the sheath, and cut a feller's ear off. Peter didn't intentionally cut his ear off. He didn't wake up that morning and say, I'm going to cut somebody's ear off today. Peter, as he goes with Christ, pulls the sword out and tries to cut the guy's head off. And when he does, that dear man leans his head over and Peter gets his ear.
Yes, sir.
Cuts it clean off.
Yep.
Jesus grabs the ear,
right,
puts it back on the guy's head,
yeah,
and heals him.
Yeah.
Peter has made a great mess.
Right.
Peter has really messed up.
Right.
Has he not? Is getting in line to be crucified with Christ as he makes this mistake. He has committed a crime worthy of capital punishment. And he could have been brought before the high priest, the synagogue, and all that, and he could have been nailed on a cross too. But God says, it's not your time, Peter. And so Jesus picks it up, puts the ear back on. And I want to preach just a simple little thought this morning on when he touches what I tore up.
Amen.
Have you ever tore anything up and God had to fix it? You've been serving God any length of time at all. Then you've done messed up big and God had to fix it big. And brother, I tell you right now, I'm glad there's a God in heaven that loves us enough that he'll come by where we're at and take the mess we make and clean it up and fix it up and rescue us. He touches what I tore up briefly this morning. Peter has stepped out of front of everybody and everything, and he has stepped out of unity with Christ. One thing not to be unified with your church or your pastor, but to be disunified with Christ. Oh, God, help us how to be unified with the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. And Peter may have been in the same book, but he was not on the same page that Jesus was, and he moved out of unity.
Yeah.
We wonder why people won't hear us when we preach. We're not unified with God. Bible said, how could two walk together except they be agreed? He said, behold, how good and pleasant it is that the brethren dwell together in unity. If you're not unified with God, you ain't unified with nobody else. He stepped out of unity with the disciples. Peter's the only one that pulled his sword out. He's the only one that decided to fight that day. And he is out of unity with Christ. Amen. Not only that, number two, he's acting without understanding. See, Peter didn't understand everything that was going on. Amen. He did not understand the prophecies of God. Hey, Peter, you're supposed to be studying your Bible. What, did you not study Psalms 22 and Isaiah 53? Did you not study Genesis 22? Did you not see the types and the pictures and the shadows? Did you not see the plain speaking on, preaching on the prophecy that Jesus Christ, yes, was going to be born of a virgin, but is also going to die on a cross, and is also going to die for the sins of the whole world? Do you not understand that this has got to happen? He didn't step out of the prophecy of God. He didn't understand the prophecy. He didn't understand the plan of God. This was God's plan for fallen man. He had to be betrayed into the hands of sinful men. It was the will of God. He didn't understand God's plan. But then he didn't understand the providence of God. Brother Peter wasn't paying attention to the unseen providential hand of God. Neighbor, God had set this whole scene up. I mean, this had been planned from before the foundation of the world, that Christ was going to die on a cross and resurrect 3 days later, and God set it up.
Yes,
see, a lot of times in our lives, don't let that word providence or the word sovereignty bother you. We believe that before the first Calvinist was ever invented. Say amen right there. And brother, God's got a providential plan for your life. And you got to understand the sovereign goes and the sovereign knows and the sovereign woes of the God leading us and guiding us. And Peter, what are you doing? You trying to put a stop to Calvary? You trying to put a stop to the greatest thing that's ever going to happen for man? And brother, I tell you, when we go to putting our hands and our thoughts in God's providence, we're going to shut the blessings of God off in our lives. He didn't understand the providence of God. He's moving without unity. He's moving without understanding. He's moving, boy. He takes his sword and he's using it. Boy, I like to picture it like this, typify it like this. When he pulled the sword out of the sheath, amen, he has taken his Bible out of context, amen, and he has cut the hearing ear of a sinner off. And brother, and boy, how many preachers do we have in our day that don't know nothing about the unction of God, that don't know nothing about the power of God? Brother, if this would have been the modern day preacher right here, I know what they'd have done. They'd have pulled their sword out, cut his ear off. Then they'd have handed their sword, have pulled their cell phone out, handed it to their buddy, and said, take a picture of this. I'm going to post this on Facebook. And I wasn't going to say much about it. But can I give some of you guys that's in this building today, you need to get your sorry hide off of Facebook and get your face in the book. You ain't got no business of being on it. You can't handle it. You can't even walk your dog without posting it. Say amen right there. That's exactly right. Post that. And boy, I quit looking at it. I get so discouraged watching some of you say amen right there and what you got to say. And you think what you got's more important than anybody on planet Earth. I tell you, get right with God. Get off that mouse and walk with God. You ain't going to stub up on me right there, are you? Oh, you're the king of Facebook. Get right with God. Did I just preach against your little God? Did I just preach against your idol? Get over it, hoss. Get right with God. Hey, man, if that had been most of you preachers, not that, but I'd take a picture of this, take a picture of me. Hey, somebody say, I wasn't going to preach it, but I'm going to sit down right here for a minute. I'll tell you what you do. You grieve the Holy Ghost of God. God slanders a belly goat. Get right with God.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. But what you tore up on Facebook, Jesus can help you. Amen. That's exactly right. Amen, that's right. Well, if I get to preach again, I'll finish that message right there, okay? Amen. Hey, he's moving without unction. Help me, Jesus. Help me to move on. Amen. Boy, I tell you right now, amen, Peter has made a mess, had he not? That's why we got to preach with the power of God, the anointing of God, the unction of God. And the only way you're going to get power with God, amen, is to get in the presence of God by yourself. The only way to have the favor of God is get on your knees in the presence of God. The only way to have the touch of God on you in public is to get it on you in private. Amen. I tell you what we better get back to is getting on our knees and calling on God and praying to God touches us and praying to God helps us and praying to God that comes to where we are and praying to God that works in the congregations and works in the choirs and works in our own hearts. We need unction. I'm tired of this dead preaching. I'm tired of dead singing. I'm tired of dead church. Oh God, help us to get God on us and get the power on us again. Amen. Old brother Bud Lance taught me in Bible college. He said one of the saddest things he ever seen in his life was a dead preacher preaching a living word of God to a dead congregation. Peter has stepped out of unity, stepped outside of understanding, and now he's stepping without unction. And now Jesus, oh boy, I don't have time. I could write a book. Oh, I could, couldn't you? Could you not write a book on the mistakes you've made? Oh, buddy, if there was a book in the Bible with my name on it, the heading on it like you read about David, probably say, What Not to Do, taught by Evangelist Morgan, amen? Yours would say the same thing or worse. Don't look at me like that's a halo on your head. That's where your horns just grow together. Praise the Lord. Amen. But now Christ has got to come by and undo what Peter did. It's humbling when somebody has to correct you, is it not? I don't like to be corrected. Goes against my flesh. Goes against my pride. Goes to get bold because we're supposed to know what we're doing. I'm not going to labor that. If I'm studying my Bible right, Luke is the only one of the four Gospels that talks about Peter cutting this fella's ear off. Luke's the only one out of four that mentions that Jesus healed him and Jesus touched him. So you know what that means? If he's like most Baptists, three out of four ain't going to let you forget what you did wrong. Three out of four ain't going to let you forget that Jesus did fix your mess, that Jesus did help you. Three out of four, all they're going to talk about, yeah, there's that guy that cut the ear off. Amen. But Luke, the beloved physician, he said, oh yeah, by the way, Peter, it's all right. He came by where you was and messed up, fixed up the mess you made. Thank God for Christ touching the things that we have tore up. Amen. Well, I'm trying to preach nice, but it's a typical of us. Amen. But let me give you the thought. Amen. I tell you what Jesus did. He touched the side of it.
Amen.
You talk about that. I don't know about you. I didn't bring a pocket knife with me. I brought a pistol. But so I'm not going to try to cut somebody's ear off with my pistol. Amen. That would be pretty bad. No, I don't want your knife because I'd have to cut Brother Ricky's ear off and then we'd try to sew it back together. And man, I'd have to go get some 20-pound test line and a good fish hook and some rubbing alcohol and a lighter. Anybody got a cigarette lighter? I know you do. And we'd have to borrow your cigarette lighter and we'd have to get it all. And time we got done with that, boy, me and Brother Eric doing surgery on Brother Gravely, it looked like an alligator bit it off and an alligator put it back on. Amen. I cut my knee one time with a chainsaw that wasn't even running. Now that's pretty bad. Cut yourself with a chainsaw. I've had to get stitches twice because of a chainsaw that wasn't even running. You say, I wouldn't admit that. I don't give a rip. Amen. Amen. I went to the doctor and said, I need you to sew this up. He said, I can do it. I said, you think you can make a lightning bolt out of it while you had it? Let's make this thing interesting. How about Jesus? Brother, I tell you, man, the sight. Have you ever seen the carnage from a car wreck? I would not want to see the sight of somebody with their ear cut off. Hey, brother, can I tell you right now, sometimes we make messes and it don't look good. It don't look pretty. It don't look like there's no hope in sight. But I'm telling you, I know a man that can fix it every bit. Thank God, hallelujah! He's there! all this liberty coming from? God's able. It don't look good, but God's able. He's able to touch it. Brother, I tell you, can I give you the best example in the Bible of somebody didn't look good? Brother, you follow him in John 18, 19, amen, Luke 23, Matthew 27, Mark 15 and 16, amen, you look at him when they beat him up with a cat of nine tails, it ain't looking good. You look at it when they put a crown of thorns on his head and beat it down with a reed, it didn't look good. You look at him when they nailed to a cross, and it didn't look good. Up with Romans soldier spit running down his face, it did not look good. When they buried him, it didn't look good. But honey, 3 days later, up from the grave he arose. Thank God it looked good then. It looked good then. Hallelujah! He can touch what we messed up. Amen. No matter how bad it looks. Brother Eric just preached on David and Bathsheba. That was a simple fix to a complicated mess, wasn't it?
Yes, sir.
When Nathan came, you study the parallel text in 2 Samuel 11 and 12. When Nathan came to David and put his finger in his face and said, "Thou art the man," David didn't write Psalms 51 right there.
No.
No. He's had time to think about this when he wrote Psalm 51. You know what he said when David come to him? Or David said when he came? He said, "Oh yeah, I have sinned." That's all he said. That's it. That's a simple fix to a complicated problem. Here, Lord, I'm getting ahead of myself. The side of it. But then he not only touched the side of it, he touched the sound of it. And brother, I tell you, what will we do without cell phones? If I ever hear, can you hear me now? One more time. Brother, I tell you right now, amen, I wonder if Jesus looked at that old boy and put his ear back on and said, "Can you hear me now?" Whoa! I tell you, God is able how to speak, and the voice of God, whether it be the tender voice of the Nazarene, or whether Brother Austin, it be that voice of the many waters that you preached on a minute ago. Thank God he's able to get his voice into the heart and the mind of men. Great God, hallelujah! All I'm telling you right now, he'll get you to where you can hear him. He'll get you to where you can know him. He'll put it back on. He'll fix the sound. Well, then he can even fix the scar.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not going to do it. I'm going to keep my britches leg on. Don't you hate it when somebody has surgery and you're sitting there, "Hey, look at this," and they start taking their clothes off. "Look at this scar. Keep your stinking clothes on. I believe what you had to say about the scar." Plum embarrassed. Well, you get around a bunch of rednecks where I come from, you think that's something. Look at but hey, man, keep your clothes on. Jesus put it on, it wasn't even a scar.
Amen.
That's
right. And we're moving on. I don't want to move on, but I'm going to, because I don't care who you are, that's funny. They touched the scar, it ain't even got a scar. Now look here, look. He touched the sinner in our text. I don't know if this old boy ever got saved, but I know he got touched.
That's right.
I know he met Jesus face to face. I can't save him. I can't convict him. I can't draw. One of the hardest things we'll ever have to do is just cast the care of the sinners we're preaching to on Jesus and take matters out of our own hand. And this 1, 2, 3, repeat after me crowd, they're going to send a bunch of people to hell without God. Tell you right now, it's the Holy Ghost that does the convicting, and the Holy Ghost that does the saving, and the Word of God that does the pricking. I don't care how loud you get, I don't care how many tears you got, it ain't in me and it ain't in you. If God, my beloved friend, ain't the one touching, then it ain't gonna happen. Ain't that right? Ain't that right? God touched the sinner. Now look here, I said all that to say this. Jesus touched Simon. Man, if anybody in this text needed a touch, it was Simon. Some of y'all still ain't mad about that Facebook stuff, are you? I mean, I can go back and preach it again, right? And I know I just hurt your feelings, but I mean, can I just be honest? I don't care. Okay? I don't. You need to be rebuked. You need to be reproved. You need to find your contentment life in Christ, not social media. Amen. Take your cell phone away, you're probably going to a deep depression. We'd have to take you up to the Betty Ford Clinic, get you psychology, Eckley, or what have you said. Fixed up! You ain't a lot of liberty up here. You know that, don't you? But God touched Simon Peter. He's the one that needed help. Not only the guy that got his ear cut off, but Peter needed a touch from God. I tore something up. I need Jesus to touch it. How many of us preachers, and I'm putting myself, how many of us are still in the training process to figure it out we're not butchers, but we're preachers?
Yep.
A lot of times you see somebody chasing the sheep through the field, it ain't the shepherd, it's a butcher, amen? That's amen right there. That still don't mean we ain't supposed to shear them every once in a while, but it's amen right there, man. Blister your hide every once in a while. Blister my hide. Pour the salt in. Have you on it? I don't care. Just preach, all right? Preach. But God, if you don't get nothing else, I say that. God in his, and Milton, Brother Milton Taylor said, the foreknowledge of God is impeccable. And God in his foreknowledge knew this was going to happen. And he still let it happen. Now the question is, why did God let it happen if he knew it was going to happen? So he could give me and you and Peter one of the greatest life lessons that we could ever learn. And what is that? Hey, Peter, Jesus touched what you tore up. He fixed your mess. He fixed the hurt. And Jesus! Oh, God, let me give it to you. I'm getting out of the way. Peter, God bless you. Sometimes saved folk just need saving. All right, three little things and I'm done. Look, Jesus took the proof and the evidence of this all away. Now I claim everything I've preached so far, I mean the Lord blessed me with it. This next 30-second little excerpt, I claim no originality on this next thought, okay? I didn't steal somebody's message. I stole their illustration. All right? Jump on me after church, preach to me, that's fine. But at least I'm being honest about it. Somebody showed me a video here a while back. And a young person was asking an older gentleman. I think they said, "Papa, how come Jesus reached up there and put that guy's ear back on?" You know what Papa said without even thinking about it? He said, "Well, you know, Peter could have got crucified for that and could have got killed for that. That was against the law to do something like that." He said, "When Jesus put that ear back on, he took all evidence away that it ever happened. He took all proof away that it ever happened." Now he didn't say this. This is where my imagination picked up. Can you imagine that guy going to the high priest and, "Hey, Peter, cut my ear off. Here he is. We got him. He cut my ear off. Let's put him in jail. Let's crucify him." I can hear the judge right now. "All right, well, which ear did he cut off?" "Well, he cut my right ear off." He said, "Well, come on up here. Hey, let me look at that." "Hey, man, your ear's still on your head. How did he cut it off?" "Well, surely they got to be a scar somewhere." "There ain't no scar. What, you want me to try a man that you ain't got no proof of, that you ain't got no evidence?" Amen. I'm glad, thank God, that Jesus is able to shut the accuser of the brethren up and put away all evidence. Come here. If he would have went to the judge and said, "Look, hey man, he cut my ear off," he wouldn't have been lying, would he? And when the devil goes to God and accuses us, he ain't got to make nothing up. All he's got to do is tell the truth. Ain't that right? And then God look at him. "What in the world are you talking about? We ain't got no evidence. Yeah. Would you like to meet his mediator? Would you like to meet his advocate? Would you like to meet his lawyer? Let me introduce you to Jesus. He ain't never lost a case. He ain't never had a mistrial. Ain't never had a misfire. As a matter of fact, he's the judge, the jury, and the lawyer, and even the executioner. But in this place, he took our place and took on him our sins. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. I get happy. I get joyful when I think about God and the times that we should have been shut up and the times that we should have been dead, but God touched our mess. He got rid of the proof. Now, if they were still in court, and I'm back to what the Lord gave me. Now, that was, I thought that was a great thought, what the old guy said. But I can see the judge. I think the guy's name is Malchus, right? It's Malchus. Serving him, whatever. We'll call him the guy with the ear cut off. The guy with the ear cut, hey, well, you said he cut your ear off. But you ain't got no proof. You ain't got no scar. Let me ask you one more question. Does it hurt? Does your ear hurt at all? Well, come to think of it, Judge, no, not since Jesus touched me. Wait a minute. Who's this Jesus guy? Oh, boy, it hit him in the head. We're supposed to be against him. Now, I got to tell people that positive on somebody I'm supposed to be against. So tell me about this. Well, Jesus, that guy we're trying to kill, you know him? And we're trying to put him in jail. We're going to try to crucify him, try to shut him up. He said he's the Son of God and all this, virgin born and all this. Amen. But now he's going to have to testify about him in a positive light. You can't outdo Jesus now. Y'all picking up what I'm putting down? It's when you try, just like old Balaam, when he tried to curse the people of God, God wouldn't let him do it. I'm telling you right now, have you ever got your feelings hurt? Whether it's family hurt, whether it's church hurt, whether it's personal hurt, aren't you glad there's a God that can take the pain away? Oh, hallelujah. The pain is gone. It's gone. So you ain't got no scar and you ain't got no pain. Isn't that amazing? Isn't it just amazing how, just like Jesus when he was in the boat, in the hinder part of the boat asleep on the pillow, those disciples asked, I'm glad they asked it. They never did ask this question again. Master, carest thou not that we perish? When he spoke to that wind and sea, they didn't ask that question again no more. The Bible said now the ship was now full, right? Okay. Now, not one verse in the Bible, if there is, you Bible scholars help me out after church. Not one verse in the Bible says that somebody got a bucket and got that water out of the boat. Not one verse in the Bible said they got a pump and was pumping out of the boat.
No, sir.
I'm gonna tell you what I believe happened. I believe when they rebuked the wind and the sea, the water in the boat said, oop, let's get out of here.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
And seemingly, nobody noticed it. What I'm trying to tell you, has God ever helped you and you not realized he helped you? For real, has God ever just took the load off of you and you prayed about it so long that you didn't even notice that he came by and touched you? Ain't that right? Ain't that just the truth? The pain is gone away. Now I'm done. My time has come. My time is gone. And I feel like preaching another hour. I got liberty to preach. I don't want to shut up. Why? Because I'm glad, thank God, that he can touch what I tore up. Okay. It's gone. The problem's gone. Peter, I not only got rid of the proof, I not only got rid of his pain, but I done you a favor, Hoss. I got rid of the problem. It is gone. G-O-N-E, gone. It's gone. How you like that? It's gone. It's gone. I love you, but I'm gone.